The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith, his coaching staff, and the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Walgreens.
Well, it was a good old-fashioned division confrontation at Soldier Field, won by the Bears last night, prevailing over the Lions 13-7. The defensive effort, stunning. When you consider the trio of red zone takeaways, we're going to discuss that and much more with the head coach, Lovie Smith, as Bears Insider rolls on after these messages on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith continues. Now, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Jay takes turns, play fake, on the bootleg. Jay rolling right, Jay throwing, caught at the goal line. Brandon Marshall, touchdown! Touchdown, Bears!
And the only one they needed to beat the Lions 13-7 on Jay's 125th career touchdown pass lands in the hands of Brandon Marshall. First drive of the game. And the Bears are now 5-1, improving their NFC North Division leading record. And welcome into Bears Insider with you until 8 o'clock tonight here at Hallis Hall with the head coach, Lovie Smith. And I asked you in the post game last night to pick a play or a turning point in the game, and you picked that one.
There were a lot of big ones, though, and it's hard to kind of signal out just one, but that one really did give us a little momentum.
And so much conversation about not starting fast. That was the way to get the three and out, and then that. So, and that gave you the cushion that you never, ever gave up during that game.
No, we talk a lot about that before the game, and really starting off with our kickoff team pinning them back, and we had to get off the field. And, you know, in a game like that, you know, getting early points just meant the world.
First time in 13 games dating back to last season, Week 10, that your offense scored on the first possession of a game. Probably too long.
That's definitely too long, but hopefully after the bye, we're going to start a new trend.
Marshall up to 41 catches, 577 yards, second most receiving yards through the Bears' first six games since at least 1960, and he's seventh in receptions and yardage, tied for fourth with 14 third down receptions. I bring all that up because in a game like that, as rugged as it was from start to finish, and you anticipated it was going to be that way, when he caught the ball, the aggressive style he ran with to bust a few tackles, to gain those extra yards, same with Matt Forte, same with Michael Bush, same with Jay Cutler, it was necessary. Nothing was going to be easy in this game for either team.
No, that was a case. And, you know, talking about some of Brandon's catches there, you know, the slant coming out of the end zone where he almost broke it. He's a big, powerful man, so those arm tackles, you have to be, you know, you have to wrap him up or – you can't go to the distance. And as you watch him catch the football, you know, it's always with his hands, not with his body. You know, his big hands, once he gets his hands on that ball, things can happen.
A lot of great things happen. That's just scratching the surface. But your impressions of the defense last night, now that you had a chance to sit back and enjoy it a second time, because, I don't know, there's a ton of adjectives I could throw on it. But I want you to tell it because that story needs to be told. That was something.
Yeah, no, it was. And it took that type of effort. And as you said earlier, it was going to be that type of game. But last week, I know the defensive coaches talked a lot about, I know Rod and the rest of the staff talked a lot about, you know, to the players about we weren't satisfied with the number of takeaways as far as getting fumbles, causing fumbles. And they didn't necessarily turn the ball over. I mean, we saw there were a lot of times where the ball was punched out. Of course, you have your normal guys like Charles Tillman, but saw a lot of guys really stripping that football and it came out.
Briggs, Melton, special teams, and it could have come out even more. I mean, there were a couple that it was almost there. So, again, message downloaded to your guys.
Yeah, they take coaching well, and but it's much more than that. I mean, they really believe in it, and they know that is a base way that we play defense.
So how does a team get three red zone takeaways?
I think you just have to keep playing. I mean, until you know, you get the ball in the end zone, there's always an opportunity. You know, the fumble that Brian Urlacher got. I mean, Brian had, and just running to the football too. You have to have guys, once the ball is out, that's why we talk about pursuing to the football. We want as many defensive players as we can get. Brian on that one fumble recovery down, you know, on the 1 yard line or half yard line, whatever it was. He had man coverage on the outside. And once he saw where the ball, I mean, it was just running to the football for him to get it.
Yeah, Henry Melton basically took it away from Joique Bell as he tried to reach for the goal line. Huge play in the game, and the Bears are victorious 13-7. Lots more to discuss as we break it down with Lovie Smith. And coming up a bit later on, we go talk a little special teams with Kevin O'Dea tonight.
Now, more of the Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
To the near side, Stanford giving, Bell diving for the end zone, turned away by the Bears, and they come up with a football. Joique Bell has given it up on the dive for the goal line. This young back out of Wayne State puffs it up, and the Bears have denied the Lions here in the third quarter with 5:17 remaining.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was waiting and waiting because this is a joke, and he did it again. No joke. Henry Melton, the strip, and that came in the third quarter, recovered by Brian Urlacher. That is the play of the week brought to you by McDonald's. And, man, I just, you know, now just keep adding it to the pile. That's five red zone takeaways in six games by your defense. And now, thanks to the Bears public relations, media relations department, number one in the NFL, since 2004 in red zone takeaways. Add to that pile of numbers that your guys, since you've been here, since 2004, have you know, taken control of that number one total. Certainly takeaways is number one, but so many other categories. Top five now, number one with 37 red zone takeaways. To me, it's extremely, it's an inordinate amount. Five takeaways in the red zone. I mean, that's impressive.
No, it is, and if you look at, I mean, we're talking about points. Odds are when you get in red zone in NFL, you should at least be able to get 3 points. So that's where you're taking off of the board, and it crushes an offense when you take it away like that. And it also gives, you know, gives our offense, you know, momentum has shifted. So just big play.
I don't have the exact number now that I'm thinking about it, but several times, though, in those situations, and now your offense is penning, and you got yourselves out of trouble. You may not have got a score, but that's time of possession.
Yes.
That's wear and tear on that defense. So excellent job in your own end coming out.
Yes, and a great point. You know, when you are getting red zone takeaways, the offense does have a long ways to go, especially one that we just listened to, but they did. It was about field position. That night was about field position, and our offense did an excellent job of, you know, getting the ball really backed up and getting excellent field position.
Sunday's game against the Panthers is powered by Constellation. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field receive a Bears Constellation eco-friendly tote bag, courtesy of Constellation. To win Bears-Packers tickets in the Save the Planet sweepstakes and learn more about this important initiative, visit chicagobears.com/savedaplanet. No purchase necessary. Here until 8 o'clock with Bears head coach Lovie Smith. After the Bears win for the fifth time in six games, beating the Detroit Lions, we have to talk about Charles Tillman. He's had so many of these types of performances against bigger type receivers. I think most people agree that Calvin Johnson may be the best and most difficult to defend. Was that Charles Tillman's premier performance?
Yeah, you just look at big receivers in the game. Of course, Charles didn't have to go against a special player that we have in Brandon Marshall, but that was tough duty for him. He knew it. And he knew it early on. When the schedule came out, he knew that Detroit was coming in. He knew we were going to match him up. You know, he went home on his bye. I mean, that was a part of his mindset, and he prepared himself, and he was ready to go for it and made play after play, whether it was man coverage. And there were times when, you know, we played cover two, but a lot of times we just matched it up, man on man, and we won most of those battles.
And moving it into the slot at times as well, deciding to do that. I mean, it's not a tough decision when you know he's capable of doing that every time he faces a receiver, let alone a big receiver. It's going to be beneficial to you some way or another. But I just, that play in the end zone, the breakup.
That, you know, he of course, he had a lot of strips. He caused some fumbles at night, and he had other big plays. But my favorite play that he had, and, you know, for young defensive backs, you know, learning how to play defensive backs, of playing a big receiver in the end zone, in a red zone, that was strictly clinic tape right there.
And now explain the fundamental of that, because it's not – there's a reason he put that ball away. Tell everybody what he has to do in that situation.
Well, a part of what we're talking about, why Charles Tillman is so special, is is how he's able to create turnovers. And that's exactly what he did on that play. When you're down in the red zone, first off, you have to have your body between the receiver, of course, and the ball. And you have to make them throw it through you. And for Charles, I mean, he had his back turned, and he just played his hands. Once Calvin put his hands up, if you look at it in slow motion, you see his hands go in between and just rake the ball out. It's the same technique you're using when you're causing a takeaway, when you're punching the ball out. It's about your hand getting on the ball, whether it's playing a pass or you know, knocking the ball out as he's, you know, if he's a ball carrier. But Charles did that time after time, and it's frustrating, you know, for a receiver. You know, great player like you know, of course, like number 81 for Detroit. Probably hadn't had many guys play him that way.
No, and, I mean, 3 catches, 34 yards. I mean, and the takeaway, to me, that's a takeaway.
It is.
That play in the end, that's a takeaway.
Yeah, it is.
That's another red zone takeaway. Absolutely.
Just, and again, he's done it. It's not like it's a surprise, though, because that's who he is.
Well, he did it. I said it on the broadcast. This reminds me of Randy Moss, rookie year.
Yeah, you can go all the way back. I mean, we were going to see this many more great plays by Charles.
And I read today on some of the websites that just specifically talk NFL football, called him the best cornerback in the NFL.
Well,
this many years deep in his career, that was the label was given to Charles Tillman today. That's up for argument.
That's another excellent point, Jeff, you made about at this stage. I mean, you know, Charles isn't a rookie. He's been playing for a long time. But when you start talking about who's the best, I think you have to measure it when you're going against one of the best. And whenever he plays, you know, number 81, he definitely, you know, earns his keep, and you can see why teams are and people are talking about him that way.
Bears Insider continues with head coach Lovie Smith. Joined this week by special teams assistant Kevin O'Day. Bears Insider on the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
You know, we're just making sure everything was fine with my lungs and kidneys and everything. I was still extremely tight, really, that whole second half. But as soon as I got the okay from the doctors, they thought everything was good. I was ready to roll.
That's Bears quarterback Jay Cutler in our postgame interview after the Bears 13-7 win over the Detroit Lions last night at Soldier Field. Bears are now 5-1. Carolina Panthers coming into town. Welcome back to Bears Insider with you until 8 o'clock tonight, featuring the head coach, Lovie Smith, and joined now by assistant special teams coach Kevin O'Day. Kevin, good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing great.
That was special, huh?
Yeah,
wasn't that wonderful?
A lot of fun.
We're going to get into all that, but I got to ask the follow-up on Jay. Is he okay? He says there's a 0% chance that he will miss the Carolina Panther game.
From what I'm told, he's okay also. You know, tough guy. We talked about that. He should be good to go.
All right. How about the hit?
What hit?
By Ndamukong Suh.
Hey, you know, Jeff, it was a hard-fought game. Both guys. I mean, we hit their guys hard, too. Just a part of it. I just, you know, refuse to believe guys out there trying to hurt anyone. So, you know, no damage done.
And everyone across the board has said the same thing. So, but I'll tell you, if you put together everything that he and Jay have found themselves in those situations, how he gets up is beyond me, because those are some vicious, vicious hits, all of them. And he ain't going anywhere. He's going to be here a while.
No, he's
going to
be here a while.
Great player, that's for sure. All right, Kevin, special teams. We got right off the bat, talk about Zach Bowman, because he comes in off the street. He was one of the first guys in the locker room yesterday. When I got to the stadium, I had gone through there, and a big smile on his face, glad to be back. He was getting himself mentally ready and coming cold. You know, you're not on a team for 5 weeks of the season. It can't be simple. But he came in there and he was a key player for you.
He did a great job. You know, first of all, it's great to have Zach back. And the familiarity of everything is really good. So, you know, having him already understanding what Dave and I are trying to teach him is invaluable. And, you know, really comfortable coming in, and then you know, fresh legs, boy, he showed up. He really did, and made plays for us, which we needed, and so that just built things as it went. And, you know, the longer he played, the better he was getting more comfortable being at game speed and the contact of the game, and of course being a veteran shows up pretty quickly as well.
He knows what he's doing, but the fresh leg angle. You know, you people hear that all the time. You may dismiss it, but, you know, maybe it sounds like it's pretty important.
It really is. And you do have to be ready to go because you just never know. Even when Zach left, I mean, you know, we were a little disappointed. You know, he'd been one of our guys, and we kind of knew how he would fit in. Of course, he was a core four-phase special teams player yesterday, but also he was, you know, ready to give some cornerback relief if called upon also.
So he'd have been ready to do that, absolutely, huh?
Sure thing.
Well, didn't need it. 13-7 win over the Detroit Lions, and the Bears' defense played outstanding. And that coverage unit, the coverage units are really playing well right now. And that's a whole new mix of bodies. We talked about it before the preseason that this could be an all-star type of special teams unit. Certainly with Robbie and Adam and Patrick Manley and Devin and the addition of Weems and Costanzo and some of the other young players that you're putting on that unit. But the numbers are saying some great things. Second now in punt return coverage and seventh in kickoff return coverage through 6 weeks. Your impressions on how the coverage units have performed?
Yeah, we've done a good job, and we still have a ways to go, and that's what we keep talking about in our meetings and stressing in our practices. You know, you're close, but you're never quite good enough. You always want to get better, and you know, Logan is such a threat, and to be able to get him in this game was, you know, that was big. But now we got to build off of that. We can't rely on, okay, that's what we are. We you know, we had a good game. Now we got to follow it up with another good game and then another one. And that's really what we're stressing, that, you know, we have a ways to go yet. The continuity's coming together, but we're not there yet. We got to keep on working at it.
Special teams takeaways are hard to get. You got 2 in 6 games. Now, obviously, as a muff, and when a veteran muffs a punt, do you sense a difference in that player the rest of the game? Or did you notice that with Logan yesterday?
You know, Logan's such a pro that yeah, that's not going to faze him. You know, you go out and everybody has one bad play, and then it's how they respond from it. And, you know, he's such a threat that you can't rely on that. You got to, hey, guys, we got one, but, you know, the next one can go their way. So everybody's got to be on the top of their game, and you got to play better the next play than you did the last, because you know what he's thinking. Okay, that was my muff. Now watch this. And so you really got to be on top of it after something like that happens.
This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith and special teams assistant Kevin O'Day. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And Dominican Sue came in unblocked there as Adams' punt is very high and a fair catch called for by Logan. Dropped it! Bears. Inside the 30! Do the Bears have it? They yes. Go! A muff punt by Stephon Logan! And the Bears get a huge break inside the 30-yard line. And recovered by Zach Bowman. Welcome back to Chicago, Big Zach.
Yeah, that happened. We just talked about it with Kevin O'Day and Lovie Smith moments ago. Several good plays on coverage, including that fumble recovery, and the Bears beat the Lions 13-7. Welcome back into Bears Insider with you until 8 o'clock tonight. And you can ask a Bears question in the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota, and it might be answered by myself or Tom Thayer during the Bears Game Night live broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. And if the selected question belongs to you, you receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card. So use the hashtag BearsToyota. Several special teams questions for you, and we were talking a bit about it in the break, but the psychology that's involved on an onside kick at the end of the game. Certainly they scored, they got the ball 30 seconds, and they're trying to get it to make one more shot at it. There's a big guessing game, isn't there, that people probably don't realize?
Yeah, well, you know, we call timeout because we had one available, and there's no sense taking the locker room with you. So you can take a look at what they're going to do. It's kind of like basketball. They come out on the floor, you take a look at what they're going to do, and then you call timeout. And now you can say, okay, this is what we're going to do to counter that and see if they go do something else. So when they came out, we look at how the ball is placed on the tee. That gives you an indicator of what kind of ball you're going to get, and then where their players are positioned and where they're better players are positioned, you know, the guys that are their playmakers for those type of special situations. And then we counter that with what we're going to do, and then, you know, hope it all works out.
And with the timeout in their pocket, they certainly know what you have. Can they trick you about what they want to do, even though you wanted to see what they were going to do in the first place?
They could, but they also take the chance of, we don't call a timeout, and then they're out of position, and now what are they going to do? Now they're in a position where they're going to have to make that kick. and then they're not in the proper position, or they don't have the right players in the right position to give them the best chance to get the football.
Jason Hanson,
it's a guessing game.
Pardon me. Jason Hanson's been around for 21 years. I know we gave a stat. I think he had, in 21 years, 33 onside kicks and 6 recovered. So that's pretty good. Pretty good percentage.
I would say that's
so would you
good.
Say he's one of the premier, even at his advanced age and experience in the league, is he premier at that?
You just said it.
Yeah.
It's his experience that gets it there, because it's not always the kick, it's where the kick is and how the kick comes off. That's really where your advantage is. You can have a powerful leg but not be able to control it, or not be able to place it where you need to place it. You know, the veteran guys that have been around, they understand those things, and they usually are pretty good at giving their team the best chance to come up with the ball.
How about Robbie's year?
He's having a great year, you know, knock on wood. He's doing everything we're asking him to do, and he's working hard, and right now everything's coming together, and we're just one game at a time, and that's how we look at it. Every day is a day you go out and you work, and you work on things and try and get a little bit better fundamentally, technique-wise, and he's had a super year so far.
And Adam, overcoming that injury was not simple. Is he 100 yet, in your opinion?
Yeah, he's there now. And now I think his leg's coming around, and as you can see, last game, much, much improved. So we're really happy with where Adam is and where he's going. And that's the important thing, is we're stepping forward each game, and that's what we're looking for.
Lovey, in that bye week, you took the opportunity not only to talk about the fumbles you want forced and recovered, but talking about getting more in the return game. You guys mixed it up yesterday with Devin, Eric Weems, and Earl Bennett all touching the football. What did you think of the return game yesterday in general, and is there signs of it meeting your expectations?
Yeah, there are signs, and we're getting better, but we have a few good returners. I mean, Earl Bennett has scored touchdowns for us, you know, as a returner, and Eric Weems has taken one to the house also. So it's only natural that during the course of the year you'll be able to use all of your resources. So it was good to get them some time back there, but even though we're making progress still, though, I mean, we've, you know, won games with returns going the distance, and that's what I'm looking forward to us doing.
And Devin had one last year in October against this Carolina Panther team that you'll be seeing on Sunday, and he had a big kickoff return of that game as well, 73 yards. And Weems has a punt return touchdown in his career from playing in that NFC South against Carolina. Nothing that you don't know, of course, because you've been studying all this already, probably over the weekend, getting a little look at the Carolina Panthers. But in terms of Devin, the decisions he's making right now and things like that, where would you say he's at?
You know, Devin's Devin. Anytime Devin steps on the field, everybody gets scared if you're going against him, and everybody's excited if you're on our side and if you're blocking for him. So the blocking and everything is going to continue to be right, you know, right where we want it to be, and Devin's chances are coming, you know that, and we've got to be patient, be smart, and when he gets his right opportunity, he's going to go.
Are there areas on the field when you know, okay, this is going to be a great opportunity for something big to happen based on where he is on the field and where you think the punter might put the ball?
Yeah, certain times in certain situations, based on the wind and the weather and certain conditions, that when they line up right, and you know the certain tendencies of a kicker on that part of the field and maybe on that hash, then you say, oh boy, this could be interesting. Let's take a look at this. So
I always like it when they're pinned back deep and he's around your own 40, and I know something. And there was one of those last night, and I was like, oh, that would be a great opportunity. And those are the ones that are those tough to cover in that area of the field as well with a guy like that. And you've obviously faced a lot of great returners as well.
Certainly they are. It's tough to cover because you're backed up. You got to really protect. So the protection unit is thinking protect first, then they worry about getting out in coverage. Where in other times you can cheat the coverage a little bit and get some guys out a little bit quicker. But when you're backed up and you're working on a shorter area than what you normally are, then the pressure to get the kickoff and protect it becomes the first problem, and then the coverage is the second. So it is an advantage for the return team.
740 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. A couple of more minutes with Kevin O'Day, and then a final segment with head coach Lovie Smith. You can listen to the next Bears All Access radio show brought to you by Sports Authority this Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows, and Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy John's, your chance to catch up on Bears news games every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on Comcast, Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Take a little look at Carolina. What do you see on special teams for them?
Well, right now, the first thing we're just looking at is they're number one in the NFL in kickoff coverage. So
18.5 yards, I think,
yeah,
something like that.
18.9 or whatever it is. It's really good. So that becomes the first problem you got to look at and try and solve that. So, you know, we're working on that tonight, and we work on a couple of different units each night and try and get ready for them. So we still have to finish watching this game tomorrow. That we just played, and then we go full speed ahead.
From your point of view, and this is your specialty right now as an assistant special teams coordinator, is it as much fun anymore now that a lot of touchbacks are happening on kickoffs? Because there's not a whole bunch of returns.
Yeah, it's still fun. I mean, you know, you got to really plan and make sure everybody understands we're coming out with this ball. If it comes down here and it's not a great hang time, we're bringing this one out. Or if they kick it over here, we're bringing this out. We're going to do this. So there's a lot of scheming still going on, you know, on within the game. And there's no guarantees. Sometimes you get a good kicking ball. Sometimes the kickers, they're always complaining, well, this isn't a good kicking ball. And if they get one they don't like, it's going to be a low line drive. There's a good opportunity. You play outside more, you get more opportunities. And the wind and the weather and everything changes everything for our advantage as a return team, and or as a kicking team, you also use the advantage of the wind too. So,
would you prefer Robbie just hit it out of the back of the end zone every time?
Well,
or is there some strategy involved in that too?
Well, we, you know,
you're not going to tell me, but I'm just saying. I mean,
right.
Is there strategy in that too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everything we do, you know, you can set them up for something with one kick, and then come back and do something different. And so there's a little chess match going on all the time.
Lovey, do you think that there's some preservation of players because of the large amount of touchbacks now? Yeah, they're running, but they're not necessarily hitting too much. Does that make for a fresher football team overall? Or is that still too subjective?
I think it's subjective, but I guess you could make that. I can see why people could argue that point. But you know our opinion on that. That one play, it's an exciting play, and every time you take one away from a game, however many you take away, to me, is, you know, you're cheating the game just
right,
a little bit.
You're never going to like it.
You're going to never like that part of it, but we have adjusted, and we're going with it.
All right, very good. Kevin, I know you got work to do. Thank you very much. Appreciate you having us. Appreciate you having the time to spend with us and our Bears listeners here tonight. Back with Lovie Smith in our final segment.
The Bears Insider continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
The plays are going to come. You know, it's just a matter of putting myself in position of making the plays. They weren't coming a lot earlier. I had a few more chances today to make them, and luckily I did. But we're so well coached. You know, you look at the way we play and the positions that they put us in to make plays.
That's Bears middle linebacker Brian Urlacher. Final segment of Bears Insider from Hallis Hall with head coach Lovie Smith. Eighth time in Bears history, they are 5-1 or better and have made the playoffs the previous seven times, including in 2006 when Lovie's Bears started 6-0. Welcome back in here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. That was Brian Urlacher, and Brian Urlacher made a bunch of plays yesterday. How'd he grade out?
Grade out well. I mean, Brian's a great player. It's kind of simple as that. He's a Hall of Famer, perennial All-Pro player. Yeah, he had an injury earlier, but he's in regular season form, and it was good to see him make those kind of plays because that's what he's capable of doing.
I got the question again, though. Every single game, somebody from the other team, hey, how's he doing? Look, with all this concern, like they see something or they hear something, they read something, that it's not the same Brian Urlacher, and I just laugh. I don't laugh in their face, but, I mean, they're looking for things because of, not because of who he is. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but Brian has been critiqued like that all his life.
True.
When you are Brian Urlacher, when you're the face of the franchise, when you come out of the tunnel and you get the biggest roar and all those things that go along with being Brian, that's a part of it. Brian realizes that, but as he said, his play is about where we want his play to be, and It'll even be better this week, like all the players.
And he is the humblest dude around, so he's not patting himself on the back. He feels that every game he needs to do this, this, and this better. He's been that way since he walked into this place.
No. And Jeff, when you ask a player that, how many players have you heard when you come to him say, hey, how did you play? Hey, I really played good.
A couple receivers, a couple corners.
I played great. No, it's always about, yeah, I did this, but I can do better. And that's why he's a special guy.
Come on, don't some of these guys challenge their grades?
Yeah, they're all, but that's a good thing too. I mean, because they just want to know, and they're that involved in their grade on every little thing and the reason why you get a certain grade each play.
That's Lovie Smith, and watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota, Sundays at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. I want to still talk about the defense, because the red zone defense, aside from the takeaways, and now your scoring efficiency defense is number one in the league at 53%. Only 6 touchdowns, 2 field goals on 15 possessions. But have you always felt, based on your system and the types of plays you had, that you've always had a strong red zone defense? And why? What makes it so tough on the Bears defense in the red zone?
Well, I just can't say the red zone. We believe in, Jeff, in our defense period. We think our defense is built to, whether it's coming out, going in, red zone, around the 50-yard line. We just think if you play the techniques the proper way, we fit and try to put the players in as many situations as we possibly can. There are rules that take care of anything you might see during the game. And we have playmakers. We have good players. They're well coached. Rod Marinelli and the rest of the defensive staff and all of our coaches on both sides of the ball and special teams do a great job. But we have good personnel, and they believe in playing hard.
Also, with that being said, the big plays are not being made on this defense at all. I mean, the longest play yesterday was 23 yards. A couple of guys did it, 23 yards, nothing big. As long as you tackle, you know, things are going to be good. But in the league, like, your quarterback rating defensively for big pass plays is 24 point something. The average in the league is 90.
Yeah.
In a passing league, so to speak.
I'm going to say still, Jeff, we're set up that way. I know we get the label, we're a Tampa 2 team, and at least call us a Chicago Bear 2 team. But, you know, we do play some cover 2. But we're just not one of those teams that's going to all-out blitz and take chances like that. I just don't think you have to. We're going to have at least one safety in the middle of the field most of the time. And we have that safety there to eliminate the big plays. And our safeties have done a great job. I'm talking Chris Conte and Major Wright. Both are excellent tacklers and have done a great job of it's always about just let the defense play another play. If we play another play, we got a chance to take the ball away that next play. So just don't give up any big plays and we have a chance.
Conte flashing all over the place. You know, it was one play in the game that I remember describing. I try and set the defense as often as I can and where the safeties are. And Chris is shooting down to the box, and then at the last second, and Stafford's getting the ball. He's already back in the secondary, and Stafford had a stop. Look around 3 times and then go short. Mixing it up for even a talented quarterback like that freezes them for that split second, and that's huge.
What defense? You talking about defense? I thought we played cover 2 every snap. And that,
see, now this is bugging you, isn't it? I know you're having fun, but do you think it's – disparaging isn't the right word, but do you think enough time has gone past, now 9 years deep into this system, the Chicago Bears defense – and everything we've said about it in glowing terms, the math is there. Just look at it. The wins are there. That enough already with the Tampa 2 conversation? I know it's part of your heritage also, but no. Are you tired of hearing that?
No, not really, because that we do play. I mean, cover 2 is our signature coverage that we use, and we've been in some good passing situations. So being called, I was just really joking there earlier. That's we don't see, you know, look at that at anything but a compliment. When people talk about us that way. But we do more. There's a lot more to our packages, our players know. And if you're a defensive player, just about every position, you're a defensive lineman, there's a chance you could play any one of the 4 positions along the defensive line. If you're safety, you could play man coverage. You could be in any of the zones from deep to short. You're a linebacker. Brian Urlacher as a linebacker could be running through the middle of the field. Have the deep third of the field. Of course, he could play any of the underneath zone coverage, play man. So within the system, you can do everything. And And we just asked the guys to do it full speed always, and good things will happen.
Pass rush seemed to be, from start to finish, extremely aggressive yesterday. Like, there was no let-up. Was that
relentless,
right?
Yes, relentless throughout. And we needed that from them. And, you know, sometimes, Jeff, no, I think we have 21 sacks right now, which is a good number. We're doing a great job of getting a guy down. But it's the pressures, too. When you're making the quarterback, we have, I think, 21 takeaways. A part of that is that relentless rush. Even if you don't get the quarterback down, of making him rush a throw or overthrows, you see a lot of those. But it all starts up front. And we dress 7 defensive linemen most games, and all they know they're going to all play. And they're spent after every game, and that's how it should be.
Join the Bears for a ladies' night out at Soldier Field on October 29th. Meyer Bears Football 101, presented by Chase. Visit ChicagoBears.com to purchase tickets. We're with Lovey Smith. 5 more minutes to go on the program here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Yeah, you're plus 13 now in the takeaway turnover ratio. That's number one in the NFL, by the way.
And that's, of course, that's huge. You know what an emphasis we put on that turnover ratio, but it's great that we're plus 13, but how we look at it, Jeff, it's about you started over each week, and this game, we're plus 4 on this last game. That's when you win football games.
So does it bug you when guys like me keep throwing these numbers at you, cumulative numbers?
No,
because
I,
you want to set a new page every week.
We do it that way. We understand that the big picture is to look at it all.
And you're not fumbling the ball. I think one so far in 390 snaps.
Yeah, that's why when we talk about turnover ratio, it's just not defense taking the ball away. It's offense with ball security. Like yesterday, no turnovers and taking the ball away 4 times. So that's how we get that plus 4 turnovers ratio. And when we say that, we should say defense 3 times, 1 special team takeaway. That's the perfect game.
All right. We haven't talked about the offensive line, but they all have to play. It's a unit. But Jamarcus Webb, outstanding. Was he? I didn't mention
it. Offensive line, Jamarcus, the rest of the offensive line did a great job. I mean, it was a physical football game, and we rushed for over 170 yards. In order to do that, I mean, we needed our offensive line to play at a certain level, and they did. It's 2 weeks in a row, back-to-back, we've been able to rush the football. And, you know, the weather's changing. We've got to get that running game going. Matt Forte was outstanding again. Michael Bush.
How about that? How about this? It was like a triple assault from Michael Bush. Spin, evade, another hurdle.
I mean, Mike,
that was awesome.
If you want to disrespect Mike, you just say, hey, Mike, you're an inside the tackles runner. No, he's showing us he can catch the ball. He's got moves on the outside. He was a hurdler in junior high somewhere down the line, the way he keeps jumping. Just getting good production from our running back.
All right, let's look at the Panthers. 4th meeting in 5 years. Last season, you go out to the big lead. You get the Hester punt return touchdown. You get a couple of other big plays. You go out to lead, but they keep coming. And that kid, Cam Newton, had a huge day. Yards. It was just yards. But you guys were really never out of control of the game. But there were a couple points in the game it could have turned on you. That sticks in your head, and they're 1-5, but 4 of their losses have been 6 points or less. They've been blown out once. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, our guys have a short memory, believe me. They rush for, total yards, over 500 yards against
almost 600.
Yeah, at Soldier Field. That didn't happen many times. They hit us with a lot of big plays also. Got the running game going along with the passing game. So, and they have excellent personnel on the offensive side of the ball. I know what their record says right now. But you can't look at what has happened in the past. You just have to look at what a team is capable of doing on that Sunday. And 2 great running backs, great wide receiver. Greg Olson's an excellent tight end. Of course, Cam Newton can do everything you want a special quarterback
to do. He's taking some heat.
I know in the past, what has happened in the past. When you're 1-5, I mean, you're going to take some heat. That goes with the territory. But there's a lot of football left to go. And we need to be ready this week. It's going to be a tough game.
You know, you've faced so many athletic quarterbacks and done well with them in terms of containing them. Where does he fit into that category?
I mean, he's one
you
of the best.
Runner. He's their leading rusher.
No, he's, again, they have a 1-5 record, so people will be criticizing him quite a bit. But he's one of the best quarterbacks around. That's how he played last year, and that's how it'll end up being for him with his career.
How much have you delved into their D? What are they doing?
You know, playing hard, we're familiar with a lot of their coaches, of course. Ron Rivera, we know Ron very well. Steve Wilks, Eric Washington were guys that have been here on our staff. Bobby Babbage, Bob Babbage's son, is there on his staff. So we're familiar with a lot of their guys. They're teaching the guys to play hard, you know, get to the football, pressure up front, you know, with their four-man pressure. So it's going to be a tough day.
Here's what I love about that win last year. Remember Matt Forte's day?
Yes, I do.
205 yards.
I didn't remember that many yards, but I knew we had an excellent day.
Thanks very much, Lovie Smith. That's going to wrap us up tonight. Thanks, as always, to our Bears Director of Broadcasting, Greg Miller, and producer Steve Grzanich and Andy Gersher. For Bears Head Coach Lovie Smith and Special Teams Assistant Kevin O'Day, I'm Jeff Joniak. We'll call the Bears and Panthers from Soldier Field, 9 a.m. pregame, noon kickoff. Make sure you join us, everybody. This is WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago. Good night, everybody.